My co-worker Jack went to diversity training. HR said we had to learn how to be culturally competent. You know, learn about minorities and their peculiar ways. Jack liked it much better than anti-racist training. It didn't make him feel bad for being white. Like when he said, "Don't all lives matter?" And, "I just see you, I don't see your skin color." Jack's a hipster and a bird watcher. He wears the air of an old stock Canadian. He hangs a dream catcher in a sports wagon. Jack does not see the First Nations as Canadians. They just diverse, you know, like black and brown people. Now, Africans have been here since the 1600s, but an educated man like Jack does not see blacks as Canadians. You see, Jack is a white nationalist, but he thinks he's enlightened. The Union Jack is buried deep inside his head. And he thinks the American flag is not a bad idea. Now when Jack sees me in the street, he sees Apple from The Simpsons. And he wonders, have I been slaughtering goats in my Scarborough apartment? Now even if Jack's poor, gay, or has a disability, Jack cannot see my individuality. Back at the office, Jack hangs posters on the wall. We the True North, strong and free. For Jack, anti-racist training was an attack on Canada, perhaps a conspiracy to replace everything white. Jack would never admit it, but he thinks whites are superior. Jack has no problems ignoring facts. Facts, 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 facts. Canada didn't steal this land from the First Nations. Sir John A. brought us civilization. We didn't commit genocide or gave the world apartheid. Jack, you have to admit, our immigration policy was racist until we ran out of white immigrants. We said no to Jews fleeing the Holocaust, no to the Kumagata Maru, no to the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Indigenous People, no that the murder of Anishinaabe women and girls are crimes, said no, there's no systemic racism in Quebec. Canada said yes to reconciliation and then took a vacation. We blackfaced the nation while taking a knee. When Jack hears this, this is cancel culture, political correctness, revisionist history. So Jack decided to sign up for the diversity committee, chaired by a visible minority. Now this visible minority is not invited to office lunches in the Department of Whiteness. But the token brown is, the one who insisted she's an Aryan in the anti-racist training. So Jack joined the diversity committee. Since Jack joined the diversity committee, he leaves articles on my desk by black and brown conservatives criticizing queer anti-racists. Jack put a Pocahontas cartoon on the bulletin board that was racist. He said he was a champion of freedom of expression. Jack pleaded the Fifth Amendment when his friend kicked over a chair in the anti-racist training when I said white Jesus is an invention. Jack and his friends stop conversations when I walk in the office, pretend I don't exist when we pass in the halls. After work, Jack goes back to his mostly white neighborhood, sits in a hip bistro sipping a cab sap from the valley, and regurgitates racist demographics and economics. I wonder if the diversity in the neighborhood is gonna devalue our property. Hey, I got a great joke. Okay, why shouldn't you hire a minority? You can't fire them. Well, whites are becoming the minority, and that's what I call critical race theory. Jack doesn't remember that at one time, Italians and Jews were not even considered white, had to change their names to Deet and White, got into the doors of opportunity passing for white. Now Jack thinks blacks and browns are here to replace him, not realizing we're all partners in the colonizing mission. To be socially conscious, Jack opens our office meetings by acknowledging the land belongs to the Anishinaabe. Then we get right down to the business of colonizing. After the meeting, Jack smiles politely, invites me for a coffee at the Cafe of the Friendly Canadian, and I accept because we've been fighting the Union Jack for a long time. Long time.